from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
You will be shocked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth with you on this Sunday as we head back out on the waitfor.com hotline. I want to welcome in Dan Schlossberg. Dan is the author of a book that's out right now. It's called Home Run King. It's the remarkable record of Hank Aaron, and I thought it was a good time to kind of have Dan on to talk. It is the 50th anniversary back in April of Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's record, and you know, with the passing of Willie Mays this week, there was a relationship, Dan, that those two guys had, two guys that really faced a lot of the same kind of challenges in coming up through baseball. What can you tell us about the friendship that was there, maybe even the rivalry that existed between Hank Aaron and Willie Mays?
It was definitely a friendly rivalry. I mean, you look at one guy, Hank Aaron, he was an all-star 25 times. That was a major league record. But then you look at Willie Mays, he was an all-star 24 times. I mean, they did so many things that were so close to each other. And both outfielders, they almost even wound up as teammates, because way back when they were considering signing with a major league team, the New York Giants had already signed Willie Mays, and they were after Hank Aaron, too. They offered $50 less than the Braves offered, the Boston Braves at that time. And Hank Aaron, who started out with $2 when he left home in Mobile, Alabama, $50 was a big deal. So he took the Boston Braves offer, and the rest is history.
Wow. Could you imagine an outfield with Willie Mays and Hank Aaron both in their prime?
They wouldn't even need a left fielder, just the two of those guys. You know, that'd be enough.
Dan Schlossberg, the book is called Home Run King, the remarkable record of Hank Aaron. Dan, there's been other books that have been written about Hank Aaron previously. What did you learn when putting this book together? What is new about Hank Aaron?
Well, for one thing, Chris, I wrote it differently than any other book, probably differently than any other baseball biography that's ever been done. I did not write it chronologically. Everything is written by topic rather than time. And I didn't even write the chapters in sequence. I treated each chapter as a separate magazine article, and then I put it all together. And that makes this book different. But what I learned is Hank Aaron is a very active political figure. There are actually four presidents who attributed his campaigning for them with them winning the White House. They all happened to be Democrats. It was Jimmy Carter first, governor of Georgia, so he knew Hank Aaron very well. And then Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Joe Biden, they all said the same thing. They said Hank Aaron's campaigning for them helped them win the White House.
How did the move to Atlanta change Hank Aaron? Coming from Milwaukee into Atlanta, coming back to the South for him, how did it change him as a person, but how did it change him as a hitter as well?
It's a good question, and there's good news and bad news. The good news is when he realized the altitude of Atlanta, which was then the highest altitude in the major leagues, that was before Arizona or Colorado joined the league, he said, this ball is really going to fly. And when he saw Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, he realized that he could hit a lot of home runs there, and he became a pull hitter. He changed his hitting style, became a pull hitter, hit a lot of home runs in Atlanta. He only played 9 years in Atlanta as opposed to 12 in Milwaukee, but he really did a lot of damage with the bat. So he changed as a hitter, but it also changed him. This is the bad news. His marriage broke up. His wife, Barbara, raised in Jacksonville, Florida, did not want to go back to the South. She loved Milwaukee. She didn't want to go back to the South, and their marriage didn't survive.
Home Run King, the remarkable record of Hank Aaron. Dan Schlossberg, he is the author of that book. He's hanging with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The amount of hate towards Hank Aaron. Here he is. He is a black man in the deep South about to break the record held by a white man in Babe Ruth. The stories, and having heard Hank himself recount this, one, I think it's heartbreaking to hear this kind of stuff today and to realize the amount of hate that was leveled towards him. How did he handle that, Dan?
He handled it the same way Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did, turning the other cheek, nonviolent approach. He did not take on the haters and the people that were yelling at him. He just let his bat do the talking for him. In fact, years later, when he was well into his case of Babe Ruth, he said to Andrew Young, what could I do to advance the civil rights movement? Andrew Young said, just keep doing what you do and keep playing great baseball. You're making a name for black people.
Hank went on and spent a number of years as an executive in the Braves front office. What did he want to do when his playing days were over? Was it always the idea of being a baseball executive? What was his plan when his playing career ended?
At various times, he voiced interest in being a manager, even a general manager, even toyed with the idea of being a commissioner of baseball. And he said, well, that's not going to happen. That's a good old boys club. But a manager or general manager, he thought that either he or his brother Tommy might be the first black manager in the major leagues. Unfortunately, Tommy died of leukemia. Tommy was a very successful manager in the AAA level, but he was only 45 when he died of leukemia. And Hank Aaron left the Braves after the 74 season, went back to Milwaukee Brewers, where Bud Selig, his old friend, was the owner. He wanted a position of authority with the Braves, executive position. They wouldn't give it to him. When Ted Turner bought the team in 1976, he offered Aaron a position of farm director, and Aaron took that. He had a lot of authority. In fact, he cut somebody named Brian Snitker, who was a minor league catcher. He offered him a coaching position in the minors. And here we go, what is it, 48 years later?
Yeah.
And Brian Snitker is still at the Braves organization.
The book is called Home Run King, the remarkable record of Hank Aaron. Dan Schlossberg, he is the author, and he's hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You go back to that era of when Hank was in his prime, in the 50s and into the 60s, and there was, you know, the Yankees and Mickey Mantle, and those teams were winning championships, and Mickey Mantle got so much attention. Did Hank Aaron get enough attention based upon what he accomplished over the course of his playing career?
Good question, and the answer is not at all. In fact, 9 voters left him off their 10-member Hall of Fame ballots. They could have listed him as number 10, and 9 voters just left him out completely in 1982 when he was eligible for the Hall of Fame. By rights, he should have been the first unanimous Hall of Famer. He was not. And look at the MVP voting. He won 1 MVP in his 23-year career, never even finished second any other year, which is absurd because there are probably 3 or 4 other years where he should have won the MVP award. The year Ernie Banks won, 59, is a real good example of that, and there are other years as well. He just never got any respect. In fact, 8 times the All-Star game started with Aaron on the bench.
That's amazing. The 9 guys who did not vote for him, Dan, should have had their voting privileges revoked.
Definitely. You have all these guys who don't vote for anybody the first time.
Oh, yeah, whatever. how do you think Hank Aaron would be viewed? What if Hank had have signed with the Giants and he got a chance to spend the early part of his career in a market like New York? Or, God forbid, if he would have been a Yankee at one point in his career, how do you think Hank Aaron would be viewed differently today?
Oh, that would be amazing. Well, first of all, Yankee Stadium had that short right field porch, and I realized that Aaron was a right-handed batter, and in Atlanta became a pull hitter, hitting everything to left field. But can you imagine if he played in Yankee Stadium and hit the other way? I mean, Wally Moon learned how to do that. Dodgers played in the L.A. Coliseum. He was a left-handed hitter. He learned how to hit those moon shots. But Hank Aaron would have just owned the city had he played in New York or L.A. Just would have been totally different. He played in small markets. Milwaukee was a very small market. And Atlanta, before Ted Turner and Superstation, also a small market.
What do you think Hank Aaron meant to the city of Atlanta? You've talked about the social impact that he had here. We all know what he did on the field as a player. What do you think he meant to this city?
Well, he was an icon. He was a total icon. In fact, his number 44 is still carved into center field at Truist Park. Everything was Hank Aaron. Next year, the All-Star Game is going to be at Truist Park. And the Braves are going to honor him again. They were supposed to do that in 2021, but as you might remember, the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, pulled the game out of Atlanta because he didn't like the Voting Rights Act that was signed by Governor Kemp in Georgia. And he gave it to Denver that year. And now he admits he made a mistake and so he left it alone. And so he returned it as going to be in Atlanta in 2025.
Dan Schlossberg, the book is called Home Run King, The Remarkable Record of Hank Aaron. Dan's hanging out with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk a little bit about Hank. We started off talking about the passing of Willie Mays from this last week and kind of the relationship between those two guys. You had Dusty Baker write the foreword for this book, Dan, and I think Dusty Baker is one of those guys that kind of spans the eras, right? He was a teammate of Hank Aaron and obviously managed, up until here, just the last few years when he stepped away from managing in baseball. I don't think there's anybody right now in baseball that has more of a unique perspective from a player standpoint about that era in which Hank played than what Dusty brings. Your thoughts on what you learned from Dusty Baker about Hank and being his teammate?
Dusty was terrific. I befriended Dusty when he was a rookie outfielder with the Braves more than 50 years ago. In fact, there's a picture of the two of us together when Dusty was a rookie in spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida. I learned a lot from Dusty. He told me that some of the hate mail that Aaron got as he was approaching Ruth's record, he would read the letters in his locker and then just throw them on the floor so the other black players on the team could see what was going on. He would never discuss them. He would just throw it on the floor for them to look at it. He also told Dusty and Ralph Garr at the time he was approaching the record back in 74, he said, "Don't sit next to me in the dugout in case somebody takes a shot at me during the game."
Wow.
He had his life threatened. In fact, if you remember April 8th, 1974, his kids were not at the stadium. They were in Jacksonville watching on TV with their natural mother because their lives were threatened too.
Hank Aaron, unfortunately, is no longer with us. We lost Willie Mays this week. So, Dan, who's the greatest living baseball player today in your mind?
It's a good question, and I think you have to go with Shohei Ohtani because he can pitch and hit, just like Babe Ruth would have to be number one on the all-time list for the same reason.
Dan Schlossberg, check out the book. It's called Home Run King, The Remarkable Record of Hank Aaron. It's available. It is in the stores now. You can pick it up. You can order it online. Be a good summer read for you if you're a longtime Braves fan. Dan, appreciate the time as always. Good to catch up with you, and we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks very much, Chris. I appreciate it. I'm sorry for the screw-up on the time. I think I know what happened here.
Dan Schlossberg, he's been with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay with us. Come back. We'll get your thoughts on who you think is the greatest living baseball player today. We'll do that when we return. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To more Chris Gofor.
What are you doing this weekend?
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Gofor in on this Sunday. Hope your weekend is going well. Grant McCauley coming up after me. Grant will be talking a lot of Braves baseball between 5 and 7. So you want to stick around for that. Dom and I, we'll go off the rails a little bit. Got some sports stuff to get to, some non-sports stuff. We'll do that coming up to finish off this hour and wrap things up for us today. Braves were winners today. 3-1 the final score as the Braves beat the New York Yankees today. Atlanta has now won 8 out of their last 10. And in that stretch, the Braves have hit 19 home runs. So, nice one there for the Braves. Again, talked about this last week. This team was too good. The numbers say this team was going to hit. This team was going to be productive. At some point in time, like the law of averages was going to catch up with this team. They were not going to be as bad as what they had been for a 40-game stretch where they just weren't very good, maybe more than 40. They weren't very good, but that is not who this team is. They just went on the road against New York and took 2 out of 3 from the best team in baseball, record-wise. So I think that tells you what this team is capable of. The road trip continues. They go to St. Louis now to take on the Cardinals. 3 more in St. Louis against the Cardinals. And then there's that one kind of an oddball. I think it was supposed to be an off day for the Braves. Instead, they go to Chicago to make up a game that I believe was suspended from like back early in the season because of the bad weather in that. It might have been that first series against the White Sox. But either way, that's what's coming up for the Braves here over the next little bit. And then after the game in Chicago, they come back home, and then there's that long homestand coming up that I think is going to tell us a lot about the Braves and where this team is. I'm starting to feel that – look, you're going to have to address that fifth starter spot when it comes to the when it comes to this team. That's something that you're going to have to figure out. And by the way, I was correct. That was an April 3rd game It was the second series of the season, was an April 3rd game against the Chicago White Sox that was postponed. That's what the Braves are making up later on Thursday, as a matter of fact. They'll be back in Chicago against the White Sox for a 4-10 game. Starting to feel pretty confident that at the bare minimum, the move that's got to be made. You've got to go try to find a fifth starter or somebody to help you out a little bit there. Again, and I don't know how much is there, right? I don't know how much is there that the Braves have that they can offer up at this point. That farm system is not as flush with talent right now as what it was a couple of years ago. I don't know what they've got to offer, but if you can go land a fifth starter, somebody to help that rotation out, you know, if you can add another bat in the outfield, I think that would be good. But we're kind of starting to see what this team is going to look like as we head towards the trade deadline later on in July. That homestand, though, you got three against the Pirates, you got three against the Giants, and then the Phillies come in for three. So you got nine straight at home, including the team that is in front of you in the standings in Philadelphia, and you got two kind of middling teams there in Pittsburgh and San Francisco. It's a great opportunity now, starting June 28th, when the Braves are back at Truist, to be able to make up a little bit of ground through July the 7th, and that the last game of that homestand against the Phillies. You know, part of the problem, and it's not a look. You don't Braves don't need me to make excuses for them, but you know they have had. Part of those struggles that they have gone through, I feel like, in that stretch of games where they weren't very good is the Braves spent so much time on the road. You know, I go back, that trip to Baltimore wasn't good. That trip to Washington wasn't good. You know, it just even before that, when the trip they had to Pittsburgh, it wasn't good, and hopefully this team is now kind of whatever that was, whatever, you know, kind of funk it was that the Braves were in at that point, they've been able to shake that off and get out of it and been able to play better. Talked about this earlier. I mentioned it to Dan Schlossberg, and I appreciate Dan giving us a little bit of time. Check out his books called The Home Run King, The Remarkable Record of Hank Aaron. It's pretty insightful if you're a Braves fan, if you're a Hank Aaron fan. Goes into a lot of facets about Hank Aaron beyond just Hank Aaron, the baseball player that hit a lot of home runs. There's a lot of good stuff there about Hank in that book. It's worth checking out. You headed to the beach this summer, pick it up and take it to the beach with you. But I asked it to Dan, and I asked it earlier, who is the greatest living baseball player? Because for the longest time, you know, you made the argument was, well, it's Hank Aaron or it's Willie Mays. Now both of those guys are gone. Hank Aaron passed away a little over 3 years ago. Willie Mays passed away this week. And I said, if you would have said those last two over, you know, really the last couple of decades, I think, you know, it's hard to argue with either one of those two guys. I say the best living baseball player because this isn't the best of all time. It's not about the best active player right now in the big leagues. You may want to put an active player in there, and if you do, that's fine. Dan did. He went with Shohei Ohtani. I enjoy Shohei Ohtani. I can't go there with him just yet. You know, I think Shohei is in that conversation. Ronald Acuna, Mike Trout, maybe. Those guys are great. I think they're all fun to watch. And I think maybe at some point in time they will get there. I'm not ready to put them in this conversation because I think there are the stories for those guys are still to be written. We don't know exactly how good Shohei Ohtani is until it's over. We're not going to know about Ronald Acuna until it's over or Mike Trout until it's over. And I think longevity is important in this. That those guys, for me, they're not there yet. My favorite non-Braves player is Ken Griffey Jr. I think Jr. belongs in this conversation. You know, you can put Jeter and Ripken and, you know, Brett and Schmidt. And I mean, there's a lot of names you could throw out there. And I think you make a strong case for all of them. For me, Dom and I talked about this earlier, I keep coming back to the guys that can't go into the Hall of Fame. We could talk about Barry Bonds. I think Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer without the steroids. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Pete committed the ultimate sin by betting on baseball, but that came while he was a manager. You don't have to put Pete Rose the manager in. Pete Rose, the baseball player, deserves to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And when you talk about the best living baseball player today, I mean, Pete Rose got 4,256 hits. He's the guy for me. It's just the way he played the game. Our Abe Gordon here from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, he chimed in earlier. He mentioned Sandy Koufax. And I look, you can't exclude Koufax from this conversation. He's still alive. There's no question. And Koufax was extremely dominant. Who is that guy for you? Who is that guy that you see today as the greatest living baseball player? Now that Hank is gone, now that Willie Mays is gone, who's the guy that steps in and takes up that flag? Who's the guy that carries that flag now? Hit us up. 404-726-0929. Again, 404-726-0929. Let us hear from you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And again, this is, you know, it's the greatest living baseball player today. It's not the greatest of all time. It's not the greatest active player. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. Dom agreed with me about Pete Rose, but he threw Bonds into the conversation. He threw Ken Griffey Jr. into the conversation as well. It's interesting because, you know, I feel like right now there's a couple of different guys that we could throw out there. Rose is one. Bonds is one. You know, somebody may want to go Derek Jeter. Sandy Koufax. It doesn't feel like there's that consensus. It's kind of like this NBA draft. I don't know that there's a consensus to go number one. And I don't know that there's really a consensus here over who the greatest living baseball player is. But we'll certainly get to your thought. For me, I lean towards Charlie Hustle. Even though, as I said before, I've never met Pete Rose. The stories I have heard from people that have dealt with him, if not, he's not the, even when, you know, for folks that like paid money for like an autograph, a meet and greet, whatever with Pete, when he was doing his thing in Vegas, I've had people say, yeah, we went, he, you know, not the nicest guy, you know, didn't really give off a lot of warm and fuzzies, but it's Pete Rose. 404-726-0929. You can also hit us up on X at 929 The Game. You can also find me at ChrisGoForth1 if you want to drop a note on who you think is the greatest living baseball player. We'll certainly get to your thoughts on that coming up. And again, I encourage you, if you haven't, if you're a reader, check out Dan Schlossberg's book on Hank Aaron. It's an interesting read on the life and times of Hank Aaron, and you know the story that you heard Dan tell about, you know, Hank Aaron telling Dusty Baker and Ralph Gard, "Don't sit next to me on the bench in case somebody takes a shot at me." The fact that at such a huge night in his life. That April in 1974, just a little more than 50 years ago, when he had that opportunity to break Babe Ruth's record, and ended up doing it off Al Downing's and the Dodgers that night. The fact that his children weren't there because of death threats. You know, you heard Dan tell the story, too, about how he handled the hate mail. And the hate mail that came in was just, you know, there's more details on that in Dan's book. And I know it's been written, Hank Aaron, I think, over the course of the last, you know, 20 or so years maybe of his life, he was certainly more willing to talk about the hate mail that he got. And it was rough. Was not a, you talk about a guy that was
you know, man, he was feeling a lot of pressure at that point. Couple of folks chiming in on X. And again, you can find us at 929 The Game. You can find me at Crisco41. Greatest living baseball player. Who is it? I mentioned earlier that Sean chimed in. He went with Roy Hobbs. We've had Barry Bonds. We have had also Greg Maddux. I've had a couple of folks reach out to me at Crisco41 about Ken Griffey Jr. And a couple of more folks going either Bonds or Pete Rose, which is kind of where Dom went earlier. One of those two guys, either Barry Bonds or Pete Rose, for that honor now of being the greatest living baseball player. And you know, you can make the argument for any of those guys. You know, I go with Rose because of, you know, the guy got more hits than anybody in baseball. And the way he played the game as Charlie Hustle. I can't put anybody that's currently active in this kind of role or give them that kind of title. You might. And you wouldn't be wrong if that's how you feel about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts about it on X. Hit us up at Crisco41 at 929 The Game. Dom and I are coming back. We're going off the rails, and we will wrap it up. We'll talk about the average price of beer at an NFL stadium. And how about the Olympics going to L.A. in 2028? Do you know there's not a softball stadium in Southern California that holds more than 2,000 people? I would have thought with, you know, that's kind of a year-round sport out there. It's a hotbed for college softball recruiting. They're going to have to play the Olympic softball in 2028. It's going to be played in Oklahoma City. We'll get to that story. Lots more coming up. Stay with us. Back to wrap things up here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's Chris Goforth.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
This is going to be the best weekend ever!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday. Time for us to make way for our guy, Grant McCauley, coming up. We'll continue to take your calls or take your thoughts, rather. You can hit us up on Twitter at 929 The Game. You can find me at Crisco41 asking the question, who is the greatest living baseball player? At producer 285, he says Ichiro and Griffey. Interesting. A vote for Ichiro, a guy that nobody has mentioned yet. But then another guy that was just a, you know, kind of like Pete Rose, man. He was a heck of a hitter. Ken Griffey was just amazing. You're 27, Dom. So let's see. You were born what, 97?
Yes, sir.
You missed. Let me tell you that the early to mid 90s, and the craze around two guys, three. Michael Jordan was one, duh. But the other two, Ken Griffey Jr. and Bo Jackson. They were, if you were a sports fan, especially a sports fan between the ages of, I don't know, 10 years old and, you know, 25 back then, I mean, there was nothing quite like Griffey Jr. and Bo Jackson. I would love to have seen, and look, Bo's a freakish athlete. And what he was able to do in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, pretty incredible. I really wish, and I am a, like, football is my sport. Like, I love football, and especially at that time, you know, I really love football and the NFL, but at the time, I thought it was novelty what Bo was doing, and I probably, if you would have asked me then, I would have said, oh, he needs to forget playing baseball. He needs to focus solely on football. He'll blah, blah, blah. And looking back on it now, 30-something years later, man, Bo Jackson, if Bo would have stuck with baseball and he hadn't have gotten the hip injury playing football that he just couldn't, you know, you just couldn't rehab from it. You couldn't come back from it back then. Not to the level that he was at prior. If Bo hadn't have gotten hurt, and if he had have just stuck with baseball, what kind of numbers that guy could have put up? What he would have meant for baseball throughout the 90s? Because he and King Griffey Jr., again, there were a couple of years there in the early 90s where there was nothing bigger, certainly in baseball, but maybe outside of Jordan, maybe nothing bigger in sports than those two guys. Anyway, continue to take your thoughts. You want to weigh in. Greatest living baseball player at 929 The Game. You can hit me up at ChrisGoforth1. The price of a 16-ounce beer at NFL stadiums. Most expensive beer, Dom, is in Philadelphia. You go to an Eagles game, it's going to cost you $14.67. Cheapest beer at an NFL game, both the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons, $6.25. Which furthers my belief that the Falcons have done a tremendous job from a game day operation standpoint. I think you go, even when the Falcons are bad, like you go to a Falcons game, it's a good time because they do so much. You know, there's always something going on. They keep it entertaining. And the fact that they have been able to get concessions and, yes, beer prices at a price that isn't going to choke a man when he tries to take his family to go watch. And I mean,
right.
Look, you know, you're paying $14 a beer at an Eagles game. This comes from the marketing company, Team Marketing Report. Cost of attendance of an NFL game, $631.63. This is for a 14.5-ounce serving on average of beer. The average price in the NFL was $9.76 per pint, which is about $20 rather more expensive than last year. So, or the year prior, I should say. So the Eagles are the most expensive. Chargers and the Rams next are at $13.75. You got the Raiders are at $12. Niners, Saints, and Jags are at $11.50. Those are the most expensive. Now you get to the cheapest. I mentioned the Lions and Falcons at $6.25. The Bengals are at $6.59. Broncos are at $7.50. Houston, Minnesota, Indianapolis, all at $8 a beer. This you can find this, if you want to read about it, you can find it on Bro Bible. The Olympics coming back to America in 2028. Los Angeles will be the host. They are going to have swimming. I don't know if you've kept up with any of this. Are you an Olympics person, Dom? Do you like the Olympics? You follow along?
Yeah, I like the Olympics.
For Team USA?
Of course, yeah. I was watching the trials and stuff the other day.
My wife totally gets into this, so we watch the Olympics every year. Look, they're showing some, you know, some sad story about some, you know, German figure skater, and my wife is over there just sobbing her eyes out, and I'm like, this is okay. You know, that's what they're doing, right? They're trying to suck you in with all these human interest stories,
and she
loves the Olympics, so we watch quite a bit of it. So it's going to be in LA in 28. Swimming is going to be held at SoFi Stadium. 38,000 seats. It will make it the largest swimming venue in Olympic history. They're going to play basketball at Intuit Dome in Inglewood. Gymnastics will be at the Crypto Arena in downtown Los Angeles. And then the you know, the track and field events and stuff like that, they will be at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. What I found interesting about this is that there are two events, softball and the canoe slalom, will have to be held in Oklahoma City. Los Angeles says the largest softball venue in Southern California is under 2,000 seats, and they expect robust attendance as softball will be back in the Olympics at that point. So you are going to play an Olympic sport like 1,200 miles from the host city? Because yeah, that's what you're looking at here.
I'll say that feels very weird.
Doesn't it? And I would have thought, I mean, with as much of a hotbed of softball as Southern California is, and look, I mean, you pull up SEC rosters and go scrolling. I mean, it's Florida. Florida plays, they play a really good brand of softball down there because of the weather. They play a lot. Same thing goes in California. Everybody goes to California, in particular Southern California, to recruit for softball. Because of the weather out there, they play the sport year-round. So I was taken aback when I found out they were going to have to go. I mean, I get the canoe slalom thing, right? But they're not going to build any kind of temporary stadiums or any kind of temporary structure. And that's something that the Olympic Committee puts an emphasis on. They want to use existing venues, even if you have to go outside the host city. But to go 1,200 miles to play softball, again, I think I was just taken aback. I thought you could find there would be softball stadiums in Southern California that would seat more than 2,000 people. But I guess that's not the case. The canoe slalom, I could see. There is not a venue for that in that region. I get it. But with softball, I thought it would be, you know, I thought that would be simple. Really did. Kind of strange. All right. Top 10 states that Americans are flocking to in droves. I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at this yet or not. Dom, do you want to take a guess what state people are moving to the most?
So I did take a look at the article. However, my guess, I didn't have it right. My guess was second on the list. My guess was Texas.
Well, you're close. You're right. Texas was second on the list. Florida is number one on the list.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, you know, the weather, I assume, would be the... Is there a state income tax in Florida?
So that's what it was saying, was that the good weather year-round and there is no state income tax in Florida.
States that people are moving to. Florida is one, Texas is two, North Carolina's three, Arizona's four, South Carolina's five, Tennessee is six, and Georgia is seven. A lot of folks wanting to move here, and that is with a state income tax.
Right.
But there's good-paying jobs in the state of Georgia, good-paying jobs for educators in the state, and you can still, depending on what part of the state you move to, you can still get a decent size home and a little bit of land, especially from your moving from these states that people are leaving, because people are leaving California like three times as much as the next state in New York. California, New York, Washington, Colorado, people trying to get away from the rain in Washington, Colorado, tired of the snow, Illinois, tired of the snow, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, the states that people are moving out of. Makes sense. You know, I got a good friend that's in the insurance business and has, you know, be vice president of an insurance company, and they write business all over the country, and he has told me that it is there are certain like policies that they will not write to people in California. You know, one of which I think may be flood insurance.
It's Chris Gofore.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
This is going to be the best weekend ever!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Gofore in on this Sunday. Time for us to make way for our guy. Grant McCauley coming up. We'll continue to take your calls or take your thoughts, rather. You can hit us up on Twitter at 929TheGame. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1 asking the question, who is the greatest living baseball player? At Producer285, he says Ichiro and Griffey. Interesting. A vote for Ichiro, a guy that nobody has mentioned yet. But then another guy that was just a, you know, kind of like Pete Rose, man. He was a heck of a hitter. Ken Griffey was just amazing. You're 27, Dom. So let's see. You were born what, 97?
Yes, sir.
You missed. Let me tell you that the early to mid 90s, and the craze around. Two guys, three. Michael Jordan was one, duh. But the other two, Ken Griffey Jr. and Bo Jackson. They were, if you were a sports fan, especially a sports fan between the ages of, I don't know, 10 years old and, you know, 25 back then, I mean, there was nothing quite like Griffey Jr. and Bo Jackson. I would love to have seen, and look, Bo's a freakish athlete. And what he was able to do in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, pretty incredible. I really wish, and I am football is my sport. Like, I love football, and especially at that time, you know, I really love football and the NFL, but at the time, I thought it was novelty what Bo was doing, and I probably, if you would have asked me then, I would have said, oh, he needs to forget playing baseball. He needs to focus solely on football. He'll blah, blah, blah. And looking back on it now, 30-something years later, man, Bo Jackson, if Bo would have stuck with baseball – and he hadn't have gotten the hip injury playing football that he just couldn't, you know, you just couldn't rehab from it. You couldn't come back from it back then. Not to the level that he was at prior. If Bo hadn't have gotten hurt, and if he had have just stuck with baseball, what kind of numbers that guy could have put up? What he would have meant for baseball throughout the 90s? Because he and Ken Griffey Jr., again, there were a couple of years there in the early 90s where there was nothing bigger, certainly in baseball, but maybe outside of Jordan, maybe nothing bigger in sports than those two guys. Anyway, continue to take your thoughts. You want to weigh in. Greatest living baseball player at 929 The Game. You can hit me up at ChrisGoForth1. The price of a 16-ounce beer at NFL stadiums. Most expensive beer, Dom, is in Philadelphia. You go to an Eagles game, it's going to cost you $14.67. Cheapest beer at an NFL game, both the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons, $6.25. Which furthers my belief that the Falcons have done a tremendous job from a game day operation standpoint. I think you go, even when the Falcons are bad, like you go to a Falcons game, it's a good time because they do so much. You know, there's always something going on. They keep it entertaining. And the fact that they have been able to get concessions and, yes, beer prices at a a price that isn't going to choke a man when he tries to take his family to go watch. And I mean,
right.
Look, you know, you're paying $14 a beer at an Eagles game. This comes from the marketing company, Team Marketing Report. Cost of attendance of an NFL game, $631.63. This is for a 14.5-ounce serving on average of beer. The average price in the NFL was $9.76 per pint, which is about $20 rather more expensive than last year. So, or the year prior, I should say. So the Eagles are the most expensive. Chargers and the Rams next are at $13.75. You got the Raiders are at $12. Niners, Saints, and Jags are at $11.50. Those are the most expensive. Now you get to the cheapest. I mentioned the Lions and Falcons at $6.25. The Bengals are at $6.59. Broncos are at $7.50. Houston, Minnesota, Indianapolis, all at $8 a beer. This you can find this. If you want to read about it, you can find it on Bro Bible. The Olympics coming back to America in 2028. Los Angeles will be the host. They are going to have swimming. I don't know if you've kept up with any of this. Are you an Olympics person, Dom? Do you like the Olympics? You follow along?
Yeah, I like the Olympics.
For Team USA?
Of course. Yeah, I was watching the trials and stuff the other day.
My wife totally gets into this, so we watch the Olympics every year. Look, they're showing some sad story about some German figure skater, and my wife is over there just sobbing her eyes out, and I'm like, this is okay. You know that's what they're doing, right? They're trying to suck you in with all these human interest stories,
and she
loves the Olympics, so we watch quite a bit of it. So it's going to be in LA in 28. Swimming is going to be held at SoFi Stadium. 38,000 seats. It will make it the largest swimming venue in Olympic history. They're going to play basketball at Intuit Dome in Inglewood. Gymnastics will be at the Crypto Arena in downtown Los Angeles. And then the track and field events and stuff like that, they will be at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. What I found interesting about this is that there are two events, softball and the canoe slalom, will have to be held in Oklahoma City. Los Angeles says the largest softball venue in Southern California is under 2,000 seats, and they expect robust attendance as softball will be back in the Olympics at that point. So you are going to play an Olympic sport like 1,200 miles from the host city? Because that's what you're looking at here.
I'll say that feels very weird.
Doesn't it? And I would have thought, I mean, with as much of a hotbed of softball as Southern California is, and look, I mean, you pull up SEC rosters and go scrolling, I mean, it's Florida. Florida plays, they play a really good brand of softball down there because of the weather. They play a lot. Same thing goes in California. Everybody goes to California, in particular Southern California, to recruit for softball. Because of the weather out there, they play the sport year-round. So I was taken aback when I found out they were going to have to go. I mean, I get the canoe slalom thing, right? But they're not going to build any kind of temporary stadiums or any kind of temporary structure. And that's something that the Olympic Committee puts an emphasis on. They want to use existing venues, even if you have to go outside the host city. But to go 1,200 miles to play softball, again, I think I was just taken aback. I thought you could find there would be softball stadiums in Southern California that would seat more than 2,000 people. I guess that's not the case. The canoe slalom, I could see. There is not a venue for that in that region. I get it. But with softball, I thought it would be, you know, I thought that would be simple. Really did. Kind of strange. All right. Top 10 states that Americans are flocking to in droves. I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at this yet or not. Dom, do you want to take a guess what state people are moving to the most?
So I did take a look at the article. However, my guess, I didn't have it right. My guess was second on the list. My guess was Texas.
Well, you're close. You're right. Texas was second on the list. Florida is number one on the list.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, you know, the weather, I assume, would be the... Is there a state income tax in Florida?
So that's what it was saying, was that the good weather year-round, and there is no state income tax in Florida.
States that people are moving to. Florida is one. Texas is two. North Carolina's three. Arizona's four. South Carolina's five. Tennessee is six. And Georgia is seven. A lot of folks wanting to move here, and that is with a state income tax.
Right.
But there's good-paying jobs in the state of Georgia, good-paying jobs for educators in the state, and you can still, depending on what part of the state you move to, you can still get a decent-sized home and a little bit of land. Especially from your moving from these states that people are leaving, because people are leaving California like three times as much as the next state in New York. California, New York, Washington, Colorado, people trying to get away from the rain in Washington. Colorado, tired of the snow. Illinois, tired of the snow. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, the states that people are moving out of. Makes sense. You know, I got a good friend that's in the insurance business and has, you know, be vice president of an insurance company, and they write business all over the country. And he has told me that there are certain like policies that they will not write to people in California. You know, one of which I think may be flood insurance or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That it's they you know, but I don't know if it's flood insurance, maybe it's even homeowners, that he's like, we don't write that in California anymore because of what's happened. He was actually first person that brought it up to me about the number of people that are choosing to move out of California. Yeah. I enjoy California. Don't think I'd want to live there. I love the visit, though. I love the weather.
Yeah, no.
I'll go to Southern California anytime to hang out for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But then I'm ready to come back to the South after a couple of days.
Yeah, I was gonna say California is beautiful. I've never been myself, but I have a bunch of friends. My brother stayed over there for a while, and one of the things that they always talk about is just how expensive it is. Like the cost of living, everything is so expensive out there.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's expensive just to go out there and stay. You know, just to go out and, you know. But now there's cool stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff to do. Last time we went, we did the Warner Brothers studio tour. Recommended. Had a great time. My kids loved it. As a matter of fact, we talked about today being the 35th anniversary of Batman with Michael Keaton, that movie. Michael Keaton's Batman costume and his car are on display at the Warner. You see that when you do the Warner Brothers studio tour out there. All right, thanks for hanging out today. It's glad to have you with us, and appreciate your time today. Stick around, more baseball talk coming up. Grant McCauley on his way in. Get you caught up. Big win today for the Braves. They keep it rolling now. Braves have won 8 out of their last 10, and they take 2 out of 3 in New York against those hated Yankees. I'll see you next weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.